Are you on fire for the Lord? Excited about the challenge of pastoral ministry in the parish? Or are you burning out? Unsure about your call and discouraged? This week, I think the fires are burning. With the call service and vicarage assignments uppermost in our minds. But what about next week? Next year? 10 years from now? Very appropriately, this morning's text from 2 Timothy presents to us a rekindling for pastors. The key verse, verse 6, where Paul says to Timothy, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God or rekindle the gift of God which is in thee by the laying on of my hands. The original Greek word suggests the idea of stirring up to life the fire again. I believe that our text, first of all, suggests that we are to admit our need for rekindling, and then secondly, to use the pastoral resources for rekindling. You know, Timothy really had a need for rekindling. He had quite a man-sized challenge in the parish. Assuming he was in Ephesus, where Paul left him near the end of Paul's life, there were some Gnostic errors creeping into the congregation, weakening it. False prophets engaging in endless controversy. There were a lot of people that were more difficult to love than to resent. And all sorts of practical problems that called for self-control and a particular practical wisdom that Timothy felt he lacked. Oh, it may not have always been that way. There was a time when Timothy may have been absolutely on fire in his own mind for the Lord and confident that he could handle any pastoral tasks. For example, when Paul stopped by at Lystra on his second missionary journey, and there he tapped Timothy on the shoulder to travel with him. Timothy, steeped in the Old Testament scriptures, aware that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, believing in Paul's apostleship, and determined to reach the ends of the world, the Gentile world, with the good news, was confident that he could do it. Then he began his vicarage with Paul. May have lasted 12 years. When he got his first full-time call there at Ephesus, again he may have felt tremendously able because of his great experience. If so, that bubble of spiritual pride quickly burst because the realities of the parish were overwhelming to him. I wonder if sometimes we are willing to admit our need for rekindling. You know, in the parish ministry, it's very tough out there. It's a secular, humanist world, families breaking down, people with problems. Oh, there's false teachings floating around too, sometimes unexamined. There are people who endlessly contend with senseless disputes. You can get quite a few quarrels out of a ladies' aid society or between Sunday school teachers. And there are many people who are much easier to resent than to love. And the call for a practical wisdom, a self-control, because of all those problems for which there was nothing mentioned in a seminary textbook or class, when the boiler blows up and when somebody runs off with the church collection. It's a tough world. And there may have been a time when we would feel very confident to meet these tremendous problems. Confident because we know more Greek, not much, but more Greek than the average parishioner. And we have our sack or our bag of doctrinal understandings and even some practical pastoral kits to apply. and we're ready for a vicarage or a first call, as the case may be. Spiritual pride, by any name, gets punctured like a balloon when we come face to face with the realities of the parish. I think Timothy's problem was really more that he was overwhelmed by the pastoral ministry, perhaps discouraged, feeling more timid than powerful, and really doubting whether the all-powerful God could really make changes in a parish like that. And in the same fashion, we may also have doubts now, but later even be crushed by the realities. And on a week when we think of doubting Thomas, be ourselves guilty of not only doubting ourselves, but also the power of God. I believe that Paul got through to Timothy, and hopefully to us, to admit our need for rekindling. But then this text also encourages us to use the pastoral resources for rekindling. Paul suggests two sources to Timothy. The first has to do with his spiritual upbringing. He mentions the faith of the forefathers, but he mentions his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice and his own sincere faith. Timothy really was brought up from a child to know the Holy Scriptures at his mother's knee, and then also to know the reality of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And Paul is suggesting that that baptismal faith, fanned in his early childhood, was something which could stand him in good stead as he met the heat in Ephesus. But then Paul also suggests a special pastoral gift, a power from the Holy Spirit to carry out his work, which consists of his pastoral training and ordination. What a professor Timothy had. Paul, in the heat of battle, living, suffering, confessing his sin, preaching, strategizing for mission, and all of this seminary training for Timothy was something also which was still there. And then the special time of the elders and Paul ordaining, laying on of hands, special measure of blessing for the pastoral task. Yes, Paul suggests that Timothy has both a spiritual background resource and a pastoral gift resource for his task. And the same is true of us. To remember our baptismal faith, the parents' faith transmitted to us, that faithful Christian pastor in a local congregation, and whatever other circumstances brought you and kept you in the faith. But beyond that, we also have special pastoral gifts or equipping through a seminary training where professors care and share, though many times imperfectly, and fellow students lift up, and books teach, and sacrifice and struggle pay off, and the ordination process, not far ahead for some of you, in which you will be set aside by the church for ministry, and will indeed be empowered for that ministry. What is really the heart of both of these resources? It is the Word of the Living God, as our text tells us, a God who called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he gave to us through Christ Jesus before the world began, about a Savior who abolished death and brought life and immortality to life. That is the gospel power available to all of us, which can break through. And when we are in need, we realize that Jesus Christ died also to pay for spiritual pride and doubting of God's reality and power. And that, by that living gospel of Jesus crucified and risen, we also receive a spirit of power and of love and of self-control, so that we may witness unashamedly and suffer when necessary for the gospel. It is my privilege to be with you here at Concordia. I come to the faculty from 15 years of parish pastoral experience. I'm deeply committed to the exciting challenge for pastoral ministry and also rejoice at the chance to take part in providing pastoral resources to meet that challenge. Oh, praise and thanks and glory be to God for his rekindling process for pastors. Amen.